Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. For today's episode, we'll be speaking with Peg Merrick, a colon cancer survivor and former caregiver, and Martha Raymond, the founder of the Raymond Foundation. We'll be talking all things cancer caregiving, from tips and resources to the unexpected. Peg, can you explain your experience with cancer and cancer caregiving?
Absolutely. I am a stage 4 colorectal cancer patient. I was diagnosed on Halloween 2016, and a month after I was diagnosed, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. So unfortunately, in our family, we had kind of a 1-2 hit of my diagnosis with colorectal cancer and her diagnosis with lung cancer. So as I've been a patient, I've had various family members serve as my caregivers, but I also helped with my mom. My father was my mom's main caregiver, but I assisted with her care. I had retired on disability after I was diagnosed, so I had the unique opportunity to get to spend a lot of time with her. Unfortunately, she passed away 4 months after her diagnosis, but I was able to spend some time with her, assist in her care, and help my dad as well.
And can you tell me some of the unique struggles that you faced as a caregiver, perhaps some that you didn't expect to see both in yourself and in your father?
I think that it's really important that we offer support to our caregivers. A lot of times the patient themselves are the ones that are getting the people reaching out for support and reaching out for, you know, a shoulder to cry on or what do you need, providing meals. But I think sometimes the caregivers can get lost in the shuffle a little bit. And I think that it's important that we're providing them with support and resources so that they feel like they can get through this as well. A lot of times, like I said, I feel like the limelight and the focus is on the patient, as it should be. They're the ones, you know, that are physically going through the cancer journey. But I think it's important that we provide our caregivers with that level of support as well. And sometimes they don't know how to ask for it, you know, or they feel selfish asking for help. They feel selfish if they need some time away, or if they need, you know, to take care of themselves. A lot of times they feel like they're letting the patient down, and that's just not the case. It's important that they have those outlets to recharge and take care of themselves.
Okay, and Martha, first, can you explain a little bit about what you do in your organization? And can you comment, are these kind of common concerns that you see with cancer caregivers? And if so, what kind of resources or advice can you offer for them?
So through our Raymond Foundation, we've really taken a primary interest in, you know, providing resources and support materials and really listening to that cancer caregiver voice because, you know, as Peg mentioned, when she cared for her mom, I went through a very, you know, a similar experience when both of my parents were diagnosed with colon cancer when they were young, you know, in the prime of their lives. And I was young as well, but, you know, you're kind of put into that situation of, you know, now all of a sudden you're caring for your loved one really without much warning in many cases. And as Peg said, again, without experience or education or training in how to be the best caregiver you can be. So I think what Peg mentioned is very common, unfortunately, for many caregivers in that, you know, they want to do the very best they can, you know, want to do everything they can. But one caregiver said to me, and I'll never forget it, it's actually in our new cancer caregiver action plan that I'd love to chat about in a little bit, but she's a flight attendant, and when I was, you know, chatting with her in a focus group, and she said, you know, Martha, it's so important that, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first so you can better assist your loved one. And I think that's such an important thing for caregivers to think about, that if they take care of themselves, it's not selfish. It's they have to do that so then they can better care, you know, for the individual, you know, diagnosed with cancer. And I guess the other thing I would say is that, you know, again, as Peg mentioned, the resources, I think we can all, you know, work together and provide additional resources. As I mentioned, one of the initiatives that the Raymond Foundation has worked on and it's just completed, which is great in time for National Caregiver Awareness Month, is our Cancer Caregiver Action Plan. And it's really designed to be that resource for caregivers to help them understand, you know, what they might be able to look into to help their journey, which in turn will definitely help the person they're caring for. So it's broken up very, you know, it's a very easy workbook type of material, and I think it will really help caregivers. It was, you'll see many quotes throughout the care, you know, the kind of the care plan from other caregivers giving practical real world advice, which I think is so important, and really serves as a roadmap for caregivers as they're going through the continuum with their loved one.
That sounds great, and definitely a resource I think that could be helpful, because a lot of times patients are diagnosed with cancer and they don't really know much about the disease or they don't know where to turn, and the same thing goes for the caregivers and the loved ones. So I guess that leads to my next question. Peg, when you were diagnosed with cancer and when your mother was diagnosed with cancer, did you know much about the diseases, or how did you kind of navigate the huge, huge breadth of information that's available out there about cancer?
When I was diagnosed in 2016, I did not know anything about colorectal cancer. I had had symptoms for over 8 months, and I had been going to my primary care physician and complaining about all of these symptoms that, now that I've educated myself, were signs of colorectal cancer. Unfortunately, my primary care physician did not realize that colorectal cancer is on the rise in patients under 50. And so she had told me, this isn't anything serious like cancer. You're too young for colon cancer. So it's probably colitis or ulcerative colitis or Crohn's. So I was misdiagnosed for over 8 months before a colonoscopy was finally ordered and my cancer was found. And so I did not know anything about colorectal cancer before I was diagnosed. I didn't know anything about ostomies. I have a colostomy. After my first surgery, had an ileostomy. And so I've had to seek out my own resources. I'm fortunate to have found organizations like the Colorectal Cancer Alliance, which is very comprehensive in walking newly diagnosed patients step by step through what they might experience. You can be paired with a buddy, for example. There are chat groups that you can go in and talk to people that have been there and experienced those things that you're experiencing. There are print resources and resources on the web that you can access that really have helped me learn more about colorectal cancer, and it has served as a great resource for me. So I've had to do a lot of self-educating. Like I said, my primary care doctor was not educated on my type of cancer. And so I found Johns Hopkins in Baltimore and a colorectal cancer oncologist who has also been a great resource and a great help for me along the way in learning about my cancer and what options are good for me and my type of colorectal cancer.
Okay, so this last question is for the both of you, and that would be just what kind of advice would you give to someone who has just found themselves in the caregiver role? Perhaps their loved one was just diagnosed with cancer. What would you say to them?
Well, I guess I'll jump in first, and I know Peg will have a lot of other advice as well. But I guess I would have kind of three main takeaways. The first being, you know, develop your team. And by that I mean, as a caregiver, you really need to kind of take on that role of, you know, kind of convener to get everyone together for the benefit of your loved one. And so I would include in that, you know, the healthcare professionals, definitely, social workers. I found that the oncology nurses are just an amazing resource and will go above and beyond to help. So definitely oncology nurses, but also include the people in your day-to-day life. I mean, from your neighbors, your family, your friends, coworkers, faith-based organizations, and also look for community resources, because I think Peg mentioned it as well. It's just so important for the caregiver to be able to say, you know, if I could just get a little bit of respite care here so that I could go out and, you know, take my daughter school shopping or whatever it might be, just to get that little bit of normalcy back. So that would be my first thought, is develop that team. The second is, we talk a lot about patient-centered communication, which is so important, but I think we ought to include in there patient and caregiver-centered communication, because, you know, if the caregiver is going to all of the appointments and also has to help with medications at home and tracking side effects and things like that, it's really important that the caregiver is included with the healthcare professionals for all of that communication. And the other thing I'd mention is, you know, don't be shy about asking for help. And it's not a sign of weakness at all. It's really a sign of strength to know what you need and be able to verbalize it. And what I always recommend when I have, you know, caregiver support groups and things like that, is to just say, but be specific. You know, if someone says, what can I do? It's not an empty, you know, offer, but if you say, you know, on Saturday at 10 o'clock, could you help mow the lawn? Or, you know, on Monday at 3 o'clock, could you pick up the kids from school? That way it's a specific ask, and I think people really want to help, but they don't know what to do. So those would be my couple tips on what advice, you know, if somebody is just starting out in that caregiver role.
I definitely agree with what Martha said. I think asking for help specifically is key. I found with both my diagnosis and with my mom that so many people wanted to help but didn't know how, or didn't know what to do, didn't know what to say. And so don't be afraid, like Martha said, to ask specifically, can you, you know, prepare a dinner for Friday? Can you, you know, pick the kids up from soccer on Tuesday? Ask specifically for what you need. Don't be afraid to put it out there. And don't be afraid if people, you know, ask to start a meal train, or, you know, get a church or community organization involved in providing support. Sometimes it's a little humbling, because I know for myself, as, you know, a school teacher and administrator, I was used to being the one that took care and cared for other people in the community. So sometimes it's harder to receive that than if you're used to being the one that gives all that. So don't be afraid. You know, sometimes you have to humble yourself a little bit, or be willing to accept those kinds of things. But both as the patient and the caregiver, it's so important that you're willing to accept that help, because you're not in this fight alone. You're not alone. There are people that are around you that want to help you, but you have to be willing to ask them specifically for it. Also, I think it's important that caregivers take some time for themselves. Fill their cup first before they're trying to pour into the person that they're taking care of. It's a huge job. It can be overwhelming, especially if you've never heard these medical terms. You're, you know, like Martha alluded to, you know, maybe in charge of administering medicine or making sure that your patient is taking the right dosages. Don't be afraid to ask for further explanation or ask questions when you're at those appointments. If you're not quite sure how to give a medicine or when something's supposed to happen at home, don't be afraid to ask for more information, and be honest if it's something you're not comfortable with. There are always other options, like possibly a home health nurse or another family member that may be more comfortable doing that, but know your limitations and what you're comfortable doing, and be able to communicate those so that you can best help take care of your patient.
Tune in next week when we speak with Andy Steinfeld, Despite facing prostate cancer for the second time, along with a host of other health challenges, he has completed 2 full marathons, earned numerous medals in the senior games, and even taken up singing to prove that anything is possible, even with cancer.
The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine.